Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're recording on location over here in St. Paul at the Veterans Service Building. We're doing our annual year-in-review shows, and today we get the pleasure of having the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on, and then we'll also have the governor on in the latter half of the show. But to begin the show off here, I'd like to welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Pat Kelly.
Doug, thanks for having me. It's always great to be with you. Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to you, and thanks for making the trek over from the healthcare system there in Minneapolis to spend a little time with us in St. Paul. And, you know, this is important stuff to give an update to our Minnesota veterans and their families and, of course, our Minnesota citizens, just to let them know about the great things you've been doing and you are doing. And so we always like this show to get this great update.
Well, we had a few things going on this past year, so we've got some things to talk about.
Yeah, we certainly do, and I've been looking through all these different highlights of awards and the different things that you've initiated, the Women's Clinic, and I know you're going to touch on all those things, so I won't take your thunder. I want to get right after it, and let's just start with Minnesota veterans or veterans in general. How many do you serve in 2024?
Yeah, so we actually saw more in 2024. So we have sort of a baseline of about 100,000 veterans that see us every year in between Minneapolis and our community-based clinics. This last year, we were up to 106. So, you know, PACT Act expansion, fewer veterans in our state, but our penetration of veterans using the VA healthcare system has increased. And that's our goal. We want to be good. We want veterans to choose to come to the VA. And we did see about 6,000 more veterans this year, to include many, many more women veterans than we had the year before.
And when you look at those numbers, Director, maybe it's too difficult to really put them into place, but, you know, obviously that's an impressive number. I'm wondering if, are you seeing more veterans actually in person, or is it because of your expanded virtual abilities that you're now able to see more?
That's a great question. And what I would say about that, Doug, is, you know, the VA, during COVID, we had to double down quite a lot in our telehealth capabilities. But we've been doing this for many, many years, and we have reopened all of our face-to-face capabilities. And so we have moved some services out into our community-based clinics that previously were only provided at the medical center. That's expanded our reach a little bit. So previously, if you had to drive to the medical center to get your infusion for oncology, cancer services, you can now do that at your community-based clinic. And so we're bringing in more veterans that way who previously maybe got care in the community, maybe they had to drive to Minneapolis. But since we're moving services closer to where veterans live, I think that's been the main factor for us increasing the number of veterans we're seeing.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You know, obviously, we're talking about the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, but a few shows ago, maybe 2 months ago, we had on representatives from the Fargo VA, and they talked about that exact same thing. You know, how do you penetrate the community but make services available so people aren't driving, you know, 150 miles to come and get a service? And then how do you piggyback appointments so you can really maximize someone's time?
Yeah. So veterans can choose. And I think if my message always to our staff is that if we're good, they'll choose us. But it's the veteran's choice. And so if they live at a certain distance away, or if we can't meet some access standards, veterans can get care where they live. But you know, if we're good, and if we make it easy, veterans will choose VA care. And we're proud of the quality of the care we provide. But we have to make it easy and accessible, too.
Yeah, well, I think I've said this many times on the show, and I know I've said it to you, and that is that I do use the Minneapolis VA, and it's fantastic service. And so the messaging that you're delivering as the director to your staff, it definitely penetrates down, and people, they bend over backwards to take care of you and make it as easy as possible so that when you show up, you're getting the right care that you need.
So that's our only job. You know, our job is to take care of veterans and make it easy and make it good. And so good. I'm glad to hear you're getting a good service.
And it's a good thing or an easy thing to get behind, isn't it? Taking care of veterans.
A great mission.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, the PACT Act already, but you were also recognized with some awards this past year, too.
Yeah, so a couple, maybe I'll just mention a couple. Thank you for the opportunity. So the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services rates hospitals, and for many, many years, the VA just rated themselves against VA hospitals. Well, this is rating us against civilian hospitals. And so, again, veterans, because they have a choice, they want to know that our hospital is as good as the other hospitals in their community. So the CMS rated us 5 out of 5 stars on quality. We're very proud of that. And what that means, you know, 9 hospitals in the state of Minnesota got a 5 stars in quality, 2 in the metro area. So again, veterans can be assured when they come to our place, based on objective data, that they're going to get high-quality health care.
Well, and that is impressive because there's not just 9 hospitals.
There are a lot of hospitals in our state.
A lot of hospitals and areas of care. Well, that's fantastic. And again, just, you know, it really speaks to the mission in the leadership and the type of people you have working out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Yeah, I think, so. You know, we're lucky in Minnesota in many ways with the workforce that we have here. We have committed, again, this is not to demean other states or other areas, but the Minnesota worker is a high quality committed worker, shows up for work, head down, you know, friendly to veterans, got a lot of great volunteers. So we're lucky to be in Minnesota. We're lucky to have that workforce.
You know, I think the other thing that we're lucky to have in Minnesota, and this is another topic that we've talked about for a few years, and you finally put shovel in the ground. Let's talk about the clinic.
Yeah, the women's clinic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the many projects we completed this last year, one I'm most proud of, is that we put a shovel in the ground, as you point out, this past summer, a couple months ago, in our women's clinic. And in our goal with that, Doug, was to move services from the main facility out into the women's clinic in order to make it easier for women veterans to access care in an environment where they're comfortable. So women can drive up, enter at that spot. You know, they're not going to get all services in that clinic, but they can get most services in that clinic, again, in an environment where they're going to feel comfortable coming to the VA. You know, for many years, it's been men, right? Primarily men. But there are more and more women on active duty, of course, and many, many more of those women are choosing VA healthcare. And again, if we're good, they'll choose to get their healthcare with us. So that's our goal. It's going to open early in 26. But it's looking good. I just had a brief on this today. Things are going up. They're building through the winter now these days. Didn't used to do that in Minnesota. But they're building up and expanding, and it is on target, and it's going to be a great clinic.
Yeah, and her name escapes me, so I apologize. But we had a program manager on for the women's clinic, and was just excited about, you know, obviously breaking ground and the services that are already available to our women veterans, but having this place like you're talking about where it's their own space. Yeah. They get to come through their own special entrance, their own special building, and they're going to get that care that they can get in the main hospital, but now it's for them over in this special
clinic. It's beautiful. We are going to have mammography services out there, and we're going to do the blood draw and the imaging, and we're going to mental health services. We're going to try to provide as much as we can there. Service has always been available, but they're going to be in an environment they're going to be more comfortable for our women veterans.
So a couple of, you had some medical advancements too, that are some highlights, and you know, maybe in the last couple of minutes we can talk about that.
So one of the things that I don't think all people appreciate is that the VA hospital gets the same series of inspections and surveys and reviews as any other civilian hospital anywhere. And so, you know, we have some very complicated heart services. We have robotics. We have hybrid operating rooms. We have everything that veterans can get anywhere. And we have this great relationship with the University of Minnesota, where many of their physicians will provide services at our hospital. Our physicians are on staff at the University of Minnesota. A lot of good sharing. We've been doing that since 1946. With the University of Minnesota. And so it really allows us to provide a broader range of services. You know, neurosurgery, we do everything except transplants, and that's because the VA has centers of excellence. But we've won a lot of national awards and recognition based on the quality of some of our services.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fantastic. And, you know, I can't say it enough, you know, and that is the quality of care that's continuing to be provided out there. In this last minute, maybe you can talk a little bit about the Million Veteran Program.
So many veterans, about over a million now are enrolled in what's referred to as the Million Veterans Program, where veterans enroll and basically they get their blood drawn and then they get seen about every year with the goal of accumulating a very, very large database so that researchers can provide best services to veterans. So the Million Veterans Program has been around for since 2011. There are about 23,000 Minnesota veterans enrolled in the Million Veterans Program. It's a continuous program, and again, it's really contributing towards the future of healthcare. And it's one of the largest databases in the country. So if veterans are interested, lots of information in the medical center. We'll get them enrolled, and again, they can contribute to the science of medicine and helping veterans.
Yep, I actually enrolled in it. So, yeah, you know, let's try to help and, you know, create better care programs and alternatives, I guess, for our veterans based on that research. Yeah. All right, Director, we're right about at the 11-minute mark here. I want to take a quick break, then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about the food pantry because I know that was big success, and we'll talk about some other great things and, of course, look ahead to 2025. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. I've got Director Pat Kelly here with me. He's the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're doing our annual Year in Review show, and we're recording out here at the Veterans Service Building in St. Paul. And Director, you know, you've got so much stuff going on out at the Minneapolis VA, you know, awards. We talked about the clinic and medical advancements, and one of the things that I know our founding host is has a very, very soft spot for and is very passionate about is this attempt to help anybody who has food insecurity, specifically our veteran community. And so the Minneapolis VA, you set up a food pantry, and I know you want to expand that, but you started this off in 2024. How's the food pantry going, and what's that looking like? How has it been received?
Well, it's been received really well. And you, Doug, I think of this in sort of the larger context of, you know, we're not just there to provide health care to veterans, but to really improve their lives. And that includes whether it's homeless programs or food insecurity. So in May, we started a monthly event where we invite veterans in. Sometimes doctors will write them a note, or other times they can just drop in. And we provide food, a food pantry. And so we started this year in the Medical Center in May. We've served over 1,000 veterans, and we are expanding that this year to our community-based clinics, more days in the hospital, and we've had tremendous help from DAV. DAV really got us started on this. They gave us a $30,000 starting support. And then, as you mentioned, you know, Tom Lyons, host, and others are really committed to this issue, as are we, of addressing food insecurity for veterans. You know, no veteran should be homeless. No veteran should have food insecurity. And so we're addressing that. We're going to really go after that hard this year. We hope to really lead the country in this area of providing food products and a pantry to veterans when they need it, where they need it, down at our Community Resource and Referral Center in downtown Minneapolis, at the Medical Center, in our community-based clinics. If veterans have food insecurity, we want to take care of it. And again, we get a lot of help for doing that, and I think we're going to go leaps and bounds in that area this next year.
Yeah, one thing I know about Tom Lyons is if he sets his eye or his sight on something, he's going to make it happen, and he told me that he's really committing to help raise funds to make sure that we always have food in those pantries.
Yeah,
and we
Tom,
can help those
he
veterans.
Is intending, to, he is setting up, he's setting up a nonprofit in order to support this very issue. Yeah. So I think it's only going to be limited by sort of how quickly we can roll this out. I'm thankful to say I don't think money's going to be an issue there. We're going to have much food as we want, working with Second Harvest and with Tom. We'll get veterans taken care of, and again, that's why I'm so optimistic that this year it's really going
to
grow.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to seeing that happen and, you know, really develop and mature here in 2025, and of course, looking forward, I'm sure we'll get updates from you about how that's going, especially with that great partnership with the DAV and how they can help to get to those community-based clinics with some of that food. So looking forward to that. And again, Fisher House, you know, that's another big thing, and you've got a relationship there, a partnership. Talk to us about that.
So we have two Fisher Houses at the Minneapolis VA, and for those of you, your listeners who aren't aware, you know, that's really intended for family members of veterans who are admitted to our hospital from out of the area. So what that means is that those family members don't need to go seek out a hotel, and they don't need to go get food. We provide the food. We provide the lodging. average stay is about seven nights. But, you know, we've in 2024, we had 1,200 families stay in our Fisher houses. That was based on a grant from the Fisher Foundation many, many years ago and is supported over the years by great partners in the community. So United Health and Home Depot and all variety of outside non-governmental agencies who have helped us in order to further that work and that mission. It's right across from the medical center. And so families can just go see their veteran in the medical center, get what they need, make it easy. You know, you come to Minneapolis from rural Minnesota, sometimes it's tough, right?
Exactly.
We want to make it easy. So that's what the Fisher House is all about.
Well, that's awesome. And and I want to make sure we get to this before we run out of time, because we've got about maybe 5 minutes left here. And I do want to look ahead to 2025 a little bit. We had just a couple of shows ago, we had Todd Kemmery on with the Paralyzed Veterans of America, the Minnesota. He's the national director, of course. But talking about the wheelchair games, and I talked to you just after that happened. You sent Melanie down to bring some of the athletes down there. All right, it's happening here, 2025. You're hosting.
Yeah, we did it in 2005, and it was a huge event. I mean, and I was down in New Orleans this past year, as were many of our staff. So, yeah, we just had a bunch of the team up here this week doing inventories, making sure all the equipment was in Minneapolis where it's supposed to be. But this is over 20 competitions for paralyzed veterans, wheelchair-bound veterans, and it is an unbelievable event. And I hope many of your listeners can make it down to see some of this. It's July 17th to the 22nd of this year, this summer. We'll be getting out information on how to do that. And if anybody wants to volunteer, you know, in order to support this too, we're taking in volunteers. But great, it's co-managed really by the PVA, so hence Todd be very involved, and the Minneapolis VA. So great event. We're looking for about 3,000 volunteers. We're going to get a bunch of them. We already got a bunch of people signed up. But this is a really inspiring event. I am so looking forward to this. Todd was saying that this is the second
largest wheelchair games outside of Paralympics.
You wouldn't believe how athletic these veterans are. I mean, it is so cool to watch them play rugby and football and basketball and any sport that you and I play. These paralyzed veterans are playing, and they're playing really well.
And that was the great thing when I got the opportunity to interview a couple of the athletes. You know, they just talked about how, hey, look, we're not allowing this, whatever the thing is, right, that's whatever they put in a wheelchair, whatever the disability is, they're not allowing that to hold them back, you know. And what a great attitude to have, and what a great opportunity here, especially to showcase here in Minnesota.
It's going to be great when we have the city of Minneapolis is fully engaged. You know, it's going to be at the convention center and all kinds of venues around the Twin Cities. And so it's going to be huge, and it's going
to
be great.
Well, I'm looking forward to a partnership maybe with Minnesota Military Radio, and we'd love to showcase the work and the athletes in particular. All right. Also in 2025, a couple of quick things here. I have notes to talk about whole health and some of the expanded programs as it relates to whole health. What is that?
So if think of whole health as sort of addressing the needs of veterans outside of sort of the traditional, I'm sick, I need health care, episodic care, see their doctor. These are addressing sort of the question of what do you want to do with your life and how can we help you? So we have, this is managed both in primary care. We have a whole health clinic where we do more traditional things like acupuncture and chiropractic services and a lot of sort of the traditional modalities of treating veterans. But it's really intended to sort of be more expansive and helping veterans. If a veteran says, you know, I just want to be able to play golf till I'm 75. Well, we're going to work with that veteran on making sure we can do that. I just want to see my daughter's wedding this summer. You know, we're going to work with them to make sure that they can be healthy and that they can get there and that it's going to be a good event for them. So addressing needs beyond I'm just sick, but again, this issue of improving the lives of veterans and really try to address their whole health needs.
Yeah, because it's not often just that single ailment. There is more to it. I think it kind of feeds right into the you know, when we were talking about the food pantry, right? Someone comes in to get that food, but you want to be able to address other things that they might also need assistance with, you know, enrollment in VA, for example. How else can we help you? This is the one thing that you need right now, but how else can we improve your overall life?
Yeah. I mean, what we know is that we who are responsible for our own health can really make a difference in our own health. And so we want to encourage veterans to be healthy. We give them the tools, and then we hope that they don't see us very often. That would be success, you know, if they stay out of the hospital. That would be a good thing because they're so healthy.
So you give them the tools, but it's up to them to use the tools.
Yeah, yeah.
That's extremely important.
Yeah.
Well, Director, we're winding down here, 45 seconds, year in review. Thank you. Looking ahead, any final message you want to give to our Minnesota veterans?
Well, I consider it a real honor to be able to take care of Minnesota veterans. I'm from Minnesota. I'm a veteran. I really value that service, and I think that we hear from veterans that they're happy with the care that they're getting. If they're not happy, come and let us know. We want to know how we can make it better. But I thank those veterans, your listeners who use us, because entrusting us with their health care is important, and we want to be the very best that we can be.
Well, you absolutely are. Director Kelly, thanks so much for giving us an update on 2024, and best of luck as you look into 2025.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, that was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and as I said, we are doing our annual year-in-review show, and we are on location here now in the governor's office, and the guest for us this segment is the governor of Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz. Governor, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you, Sergeant Major, and good to be with all your listeners out there as we kind of take a look at a big year. A lot of good stuff being done for veterans here in Minnesota, so I appreciate this this forum to get that word out.
Yeah, well, we're glad. Actually, it's nice to be up here in your office. I'm looking. You've got coins all over the wall up in those cases and some great photos and stuff. You know, interestingly enough, this is the first time I've been in your office for this long of a period of time, so glad that we could do this here, and great opportunity to talk to you. And, you know, we are limited on time, but... You know, I would miss a great opportunity if I didn't start off today by saying, Governor, it's been a crazy summer for you personally. We're not talking about state stuff now. We're talking about this election stuff. And I'm just wondering if you might be able to share with us maybe a couple of takeaways. What did you learn over this period of time?
Well, first of all, no one was more surprised than me that I was traveling the country a little bit. And I tell people, you know, this is how the system works. We do elections, and... The one thing, though, is just the incredible opportunity to meet people in all corners of the country and to talk about the things that were impacting them. And, of course, I'm never too far from veterans or education issues or whatever, and that part of it was really encouraging to me, the care that people want us to give. And the one thing I was really proud of is the work that we do here in Minnesota, both in state government and with our partners, with the veteran service organizations, with groups like MACV and all of the nonprofits. That work is known across the country, and whether it's on homelessness or suicides or just some of the care that we're giving, that mattered. So it was an incredible experience. I'm really proud to be able to tell Minnesota's story, and at the end of the day, I said it was still pretty nice to come back home. Not the way I maybe envisioned, but this is still good.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I've heard some stories. Matter of fact, I was talking to the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs when we did his segment, and we were talking about his visits with you and, you know, after things first got announced. And, you know, of course, there's Secret Service all around the place. And I understand that you really appreciate the opportunity to open your own car doors now, too, though.
Isn't that something? And they're strict. And I mean, obviously they have concerns, you know, after the horrific events in Pennsylvania with President Trump, and they took it really seriously, but it is really something what those folks do. I'm grateful for their work, but boy, I have to tell you, it's nice to go walk my dog without 40 people with me. So that's a little change, but good to be back home. Good to be back on the work.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing, you know, and a great learning experience, I bet, not only for you, but also for Hope and Gwen and Gus, of course. So
thanks for asking.
Welcome back
appreciate
to Minnesota. And, but let's talk about business here. We've only got you for two segments. And I want to make sure we talk about some of the goodness that has been going on and then kind of the projections for 2025. So let's start with 2024. I mean, you know, here we are. This is our year in review show. So 2024, I mean, when we're recording this right now, we're just about hitting Christmas time. When this show airs, it'll be just after the new year. But successes 2024, what are you most proud of?
Yeah, well, I'm most proud of how we go about caring for our veterans. First, everybody wants that, but you have to put a plan in place. And we have the Commander's Task Force, which is the veteran service organizations. We have the nonprofits that work together. And then I continue to tell this story because it's good governance. We do veterans budgets separate of everything else. We do an omnibus, and it's the input from veterans themselves that leads us to doing that. So just as an example, we finish those things on time. We finish those budgets. And last year, we did something no state has ever done before. We opened up three new state veterans homes, Montevideo, Preston, and then, of course, in Bemidji. And that feat in itself is funding those, opening them, staffing them, and having what I would consider, and I would encourage your listeners if they haven't been in those places, the highest quality care for our veterans that you could get. Couple that with adding Hennepin County now on the veterans homelessness piece. We've got one left in Ramsey County to get this thing off where we're basically functionally zero for homelessness. Only four states have been close to that, and Minnesota can. And then I think just doing the things. I'll congratulate the folks over at MDVA. We give bonuses for post-9/11 for your service, something we've been doing since World War I. And we had an incredible success rate of people who earned those benefits to be able to get them, even more so than the Gulf War. And that's, I think the successes here were is how we go about veterans, how we prioritize them, how we budget them, and then the delivery of that. And we had a couple really important events in there that we did too, the 50th commemoration of the Vietnam War. And it was out at Mall of America, and they were good partners in this. But it was powerful. There were people came there, and it was, you know, you hear these stories. There were people who walked up to us and said, I haven't done anything over the last 50 years, my first time here, with tears in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And they had their grandkids there,
yeah,
that type of thing. That's a big deal. And those were – the veteran space has been really, really effective here. And I chalk it up to it's nonpartisan. It partners with state government, with the private sector, with the federal government in the VA, and leading with veterans leading.
Yeah, and I would imagine, you know, you mentioned about, you know, this summer when you're out and, you know, the pride that you have in Minnesota. I asked this question once of one of our, of Senator Klobuchar, you know, and the pride that you have when you're with these other senators or even our Congress, other congressmen and women, and they say to you, Governor, how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, and this is putting your money where your mouth is. And when you say it's an important issue, you get after it.
Yeah. And I think it's cultural too. I think it's an expectation. Look, we get caught up in the national stuff. Everything's divisive. It's all that. That's not true here. And I think if I'm not mistaken, right, it was either unanimous or we lost one vote out of the 202 in the Senate and the House for the veterans omnibus. And that was probably somebody voted no because they didn't think we did enough. And, you know, might have been that case. We found that together. We pulled it out of the politics. We got it done. And I think that's a cultural expectation. I've been trying to make the case to the public and to legislators that this is a model for how government can work better. And I'm really proud of that. And I just think those successes across the spectrum, really, really important.
And that's 3 years in a row now for the omnibus.
Yes.
And I think when we talked about it after year number one, you had a good idea it was going to happen in year number two. When year number two happened, I think I recall you saying, yeah, I think we're at the point now where this is going to be every year. It's going to be it's a standalone thing.
That's and my hope. That's,
yeah.
That we've normalized it to that. You explain this to the public, and that is the one thing you'll get a standing ovation out of people. Do that. Don't add, even though there's other valuable programs for seniors, for children, for roads, for water, all that. But people say, don't make us choose veterans over those things.
Yeah.
Pull it out, do it separate, keep our promise, and it just binds us together. So I'm hoping that that is the norm. And look, it'll be a fight. This year, I'm sure we'll talk after the break a little bit about the future. We're going to have to make some decisions. But one of those decisions is we're not going to shortchange our veterans. And we're going to have to collectively figure out other budget areas where we make sure we're funding our veterans.
Yeah, and it's such an important thing. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not like we're talking this is 50% of the state's budget either.
It is not. It is a very small slice of it. And again, I would make the case to this is these are earned benefits. There was a sacrifice that went into getting them. And it's not to make light of any other benefit of those that are less fortunate. But there was a promise made on this. And when that promise was made, when folks raised their hand, The expectation is to follow through. And the reason you do that is so that future generations know, if I join, they will definitely keep the promise. Many of us know that. Look, if you do it, you get a GI Bill. Get absolute access to a veteran's home loan. If you get hurt doing this or injured, we'll provide health care to make sure that you get through it. Those are just things that assures people that they and their family are taken care of.
And we have about a minute left here, Governor, in this segment. But one of the things I want to make sure you get an opportunity to talk about is when we talk about our Department of Military Affairs, we had the Adjutant General on. He talked about this modernization and the great support that the Minnesota National Guard is getting to modernize.
Yeah.
That's got to be something that you're happy about, too.
Oh, it's huge. And again, that's something that if you ask the public, they want you to take care of them. And I think the modernization of their equipment, we are one of the premier Guard units. And we show that with you had no small hand in this of making it that. Things that you stressed on, recruiting and retention, we rank in the top five of those across the country. Both that's cultural, Minnesotans serve, but our folks keep them in. And we give bonuses to people who are there. We're going to take care of you. And I think modernize that equipment. We've got the new field house that'll be going up out at the Arden Hills site. And then I would just say this, something that Minnesotans can look forward to. We're going to have the premier military museum outside of Washington, D.C., in my opinion, coming online here.
Yeah, looking forward to that. All right, Governor, we'll take a quick break here, and then we'll come back. We'll get into 2025. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and recording our year in review show here in the governor's office. I've got Governor Tim Walz with me. And Governor, we were talking in the last segment about 2024, and one of the things we were ending on was the modernization of the Minnesota National Guard. But our 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, they're filtering back right now.
Yeah, and I think what people need to know is that that our troops are all over the world doing really important missions in the defense of democracy and democracy here at home. But that mission is global. And we've got a whole bunch that are coming back here and filtering in right around the holidays, which is really great. But there's missions on the horizon, and we have a responsibility to make sure that we give all of the training, all of the equipment, and all of the support necessary to make sure they're able to do these missions. And it's really gratifying to see these troops come back. All of them come back safe and sound to be with their families, and then hearing the accolades from our higher commands that we want the Minnesota National Guard. You know it. You lived it, and it's not misplaced pride. I hear it all the time. If these commanders across the globe could pick, they would pick Minnesota National Guard, and that's something that Minnesotans should take pride in. These are the daughters and sons of Minnesota doing this work, and they're doing it as well as anybody.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so, Governor, you know, as we look ahead, you know, we'll talk 2025, and, you know, we already kind of mentioned we're going to continue to take care of our veterans.
That's right.
But I think it'd be important just to land on, you know, one more time here about the budget and the forecast.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe if you can kind of explain a little bit about what that really looks like and if there truly is going to be any type of an impact.
Yeah. Well, Minnesotans, we do 2-year budgets at a time, and we are required by law to have that 2-year budget be balanced. It always is. We put together 4-year budgets to the, over the horizon where it would be. So if we're looking at 25, 26, 27, 28, those budgets now project surpluses, able to deliver all the services that we're at now, project those surpluses. In 28 and 29, we do something that most states don't do. We look over the horizon at potential cost, and we do something that I'm not sure any state does. We add in the impact of what inflation will mean. And everybody here knows if it costs a dollar today, even with normal inflation, it's going to cost $1.02 next year.
Right.
And it's going to cost $1.05 the year after with compounding.
Exactly.
And so with that being said, there is a shortfall out in 28 and 29 projected. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. It means we have 5 years to start thinking about that. And we're going to have to make some hard decisions. All these are good things that we're doing, but you can't do them all. One of the things that we talk about is the drivers of that are disability waivers, more folks requiring those services, and we're going to see and recognize in about a 10-year period a 100% increase in students needing special ed requirements, and those are expensive, and I think all of us would listen. They're pretty morally important for us to deliver. With that being said, we can get the savings by making sure we're more efficient, making sure we're using the money wisely, making sure we think about how those services are being delivered. But we're going to have to prioritize, and I've said, I think, areas around safety, security of communities, law enforcement, those types of things, well-being of our children, and our military side of things. So I think what you can expect is we work with our federal partners. We hope that the federal partners continue to keep up their share of things. I think we can you know, look at, we've got plans for the new Veterans Cemetery at some point. We need to make sure we're funding these homes, keeping up the equipment, making sure we're continuing to do some of the bonus work to keep folks in the National Guard. I think what you'll see is a sound, we will definitely do it, a sound budget that addresses those over-the-horizon issues without cutting those services we know need to be delivered.
I'm wondering if you might be able to give a plug for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And the reason why I ask that is you mentioned the three homes that opened up. And, and what we know is that they're at capacity based on the staffing they have available. However,
that's right,
they could increase their residents if they could get more staffing.
Yeah.
Why does someone want to come and work for the state of Minnesota?
Well, thanks for bringing this up. First of all, you get to serve our heroes. And if you've been in those, there's a feeling in there that these are where our heroes live. Also, these are the most modern facilities you'll ever have a chance to work in. Also, we try and make sure, and this is where public makes, you know, decisions on this, we need to pay competitively, which we do, having some retirement health care benefits to work for the state and work in these facilities. It gives you an opportunity to practice your profession with a group of folks who have earned it for us, for the service of the state, which if you ask Minnesotans, almost unanimously, they'll say, take good care of these folks. To do that, I need to recruit and retain the best people. And what I would encourage people, if you are a long-term care provider, if you have nursing, if you have any of these skills that we need maintenance, take a look at it. These jobs are online. You can see that. We've made a move here in Minnesota that many of these do not require a four-year degree. Many of these jobs that we use the skills. So if you've been working and doing this, you can use those skills to get hired.
General Mankey mentioned that in the Minnesota Guard, they're actually doing really good. And you mentioned it too with the recruiting and retention. But why should somebody want to become a member of the Minnesota National Guard?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've always said this, the skills that you have, the sense of duty you have to be able to serve, you'll get to do this work while in your community, but be part of the best organization, I would say globally, in terms of national defense. And the thing with the Guard is you get to serve at home, whether it be during flooding, helping during a global pandemic. We saw folks, you know, serve our neighbors. And you learn a skill set that you can take forward. Plus, the benefits are help all of us, whether it's you want to further your education, you can get that through the GI Bill, home loans that you're able to get, and just some other things. So I do encourage you on this. Ideal situation is here is to join the Guard and work at one of our veterans' homes.
There you go.
and which we do have some of those people, and that is exactly where they should be.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, we've only got about 2.5 minutes or so, and I do want to make sure you get the opportunity to address 2025 and the things that maybe you're looking for relating to veterans' issues specifically and what you want to accomplish in 2025.
Yeah, well, again, I want to make sure that we continue to keep the level of staffing that we need, especially at these homes, that we continue to tackle the issue around homelessness. We're very close, and it should be this year that we should be recognized by the federal government of being a state that did it, that is functional zero. It means if someone goes into homelessness, it's short, it's temporary, and we get them placed. And continue to work on the veteran suicide issue. I tell people when you hear the numbers of 20 veteran suicides a day, the vast majority of these, like 16, have never come in contact with the care they could get inside the system. So expanding that care and then making sure the budget is functional. And this is where we need to be as efficient as we possibly can. But I can tell you the folks working at the Military Department, Veterans Affairs here in Minnesota, these are hard workers. And the vast majority of them, either themselves or had family members that served, this is noble work. And they're doing it as a calling. So I think we're going to see this. We'll get a good budget. We're always have. We are AAA bond rated. We're in good place. We're looking over the horizon as Minnesotans do. You know, we look around corners, but the fact is that we're in good shape and we're doing by our veterans. And I hear this from other governors as well as any state, and we should continue on.
Yeah, perfect. All right. So now I'm just going to shift gears and we didn't talk about this before the show, but, you know, you I'm sure you took a little bit of a break after the whole campaigning stuff went on. I saw a video of you doing some work on an old car, trying to get the windows going and getting the port for the auxiliary going. Are you taking some time off to just decompress? Did you already do that, or was that what you were doing in your garage?
That's what I'm doing in my garage. I got back here. I think the holidays are big for my family, Christmas and that, so get most of the kids home, do a little bit of time there. But we're, you know, it's just good to be back, and good work is can be relaxing too. Yeah, but for me, it's doing a little bit of running, working on the cars and going forward. But just a privilege to be here, and just a lot of good work yet to be done. But I think if Minnesotans should be optimistic on how things are working around veterans issues, and that, as I said, nonpartisan government, federal and state, local, nonpartisan groups, veteran service organizations, veterans themselves, and it's a real good success story when you go in that. And go visit a home over the holidays or whatever. It doesn't hurt. You're welcome there to go in and say hi to a veteran. They would appreciate it.
Yeah, and visit our cemeteries too. Beautiful grounds. 30 seconds, Governor. 2025. This show is going to air in 2025, first week of January. Holiday season still on us, though. Holiday message.
Yeah, well, wishing everyone time with their families for Christmas, Hanukkah, and how you celebrate, knowing that we have the blessings. We come out of a kind of bruising electoral season, but what a blessing to be able to vote and then to honor that vote and then to move forward together. So we still live in the most blessed country in the world. Our freedoms are paid for with a lot of sacrifice by the folks we've been talking about, and I think get some time together, recognize that, kind of celebrate those, and wishing all Minnesotans a very safe, a very blessed holiday season.
Well, I appreciate you spending time with us, Governor. Thank you so much. That's the Governor of Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thank you for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Be sure to join us next week for an update from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.